This recording will be for the school board meeting, regular meeting, held on September 5th, 2007 at Cleveland Elementary School, starting at 7 p.m.
We have Superintendent Fisher and Jared Black, Business Administrator, and in Cleveland Elementary at 7 o'clock. We will begin by having the Pledge of Allegiance. So if you'll all stand, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, the first item on the agenda are the warrants, the minutes, and the financial reports for August. Are there any questions or discussion on those? Okay, is there a motion to...
I would make a motion that we approve them as we receive them.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, we're happy to be in Cleveland Elementary, and we'll turn the time over to Principal Clark for our principal's report tonight.
Well, I've already been cautioned not to make it a sermon. We often be here at Cleveland Elementary and tell you how glad we are to have you here to see the building and being in this town, this community, with these good people. And things are going great here. We have great faculty and staff. We have great students. We have awesome support from our CTO and community. Grateful for some of the new changes made over making the building. Maybe tonight we get an opportunity to go down to see our new computer lab. And we're updating computers this year. We decided to upgrade the lab too. And so we moved it from this room behind me to a room about 2.5 times the size. So it's more airy and light. And it's not 94 degrees in the afternoons when you're working on a computer. So it's a good improvement. And we're almost set up to start going with computers now. You'll notice some ceiling tiles still out of place because we're still pulling some wires and doing some things. Have great things going on. Our test scores are great. Our students are doing really good. Had a very successful summer reading program again, and had 33 students participate. And every student that put the effort in to come, they either maintained the level they were on or gained level. And you know, if they can at least maintain where they're at, you know, that's been our goal. When they come and start school again, they're flying. They're doing good. And today we were able to have two IEP meetings and actually move the kids out of the placement for resource, because the last 2 summers they participated in the meeting and have test scores at grade level and beyond now. And they're doing wonderful. So that's a good success report for us. And we also finished the carpeting in the building now. We had the last, as we put the computer lab down in the lower hall, we put tile in there, and then we put carpet in the band room. So now all the rooms have this blue carpet, and it looks good, and everybody seems to be pleased with it. And you know, the students have hit the ground running fast, and you know, we're ready for a good year. The other thing we are going to get this year is a phone system. That's another reason the ceiling tiles are still through. They're still pulling phone wires. And we'll have a telephone system in the classrooms, and that will enhance the communication system, not only with teacher-to-parent communications, but in our world of ever-increasing challenges with terrorism and other things. You know, we did our lockdown drill last year, and we found out that one thing we didn't have was a good phone system. We couldn't communicate with teachers in the room unless we went down individually. So this is a good improvement, and I think we're moving in the right direction. And, you know, I still hold the fact and testify to anybody that the only thing wrong with Cleveland Elementary is the principal's thing. So
I just had a question about your reading program. How does that work? Do you invite all the students, or is it just...
Well, at the beginning of the school year, our community school council and myself and faculty reps we go through all the core test results and we absorb through our Dibble testing results for the first go around, which we're doing this week and next week. And we identify all those students who are below grade level. And we're only supposed to do this for grades 1 to 3, but we've taken it all the way up through 6 so we can help everybody. And we track those kids throughout the year. Every month we talk about the kids on the list. It's on the HB 312 plan that has to have the students identified. And we work with them, provide the service we can. And then when we get to our spring, our third Dibble testing in the spring, and just after core test, we look at it again and see how many of them are still there. And then we invite all of those students to come to the summer reading program. We provide the teacher and facilities, and we ask the parents to bring the students here, you know, provide transportation. And it's one day, two times a week, or 1 hour, two times a week for the kids. And we've had, this summer we had, my teachers were all having grandbabies and things that are real fastidious. Mr. Rothley, he was the lead teacher, but then I used all the paraprofessionals that we had. And we actually had more than in years past.
Okay.
And we were able to take the groups down to just one or two kids. And in fact, some cases we had one-on-one with some of our more critical students. And they've made significant progress out of the
state.
And so, you know, as we start the school year, I think that we're going to see these kids get out of the hole that they've been in.
Yeah.
And learning, you know, their comprehension skills have come up, and I just see a fire in some of their eyes. I'm real excited.
Have you had good parental support for the
program? Excellent.
That's good.
You know, they stand together and carpool, and you know, I mean, it's been a good thing. And in fact, the parents have been so supportive of it. There, you know, we have a lot of requests for the kids to be in it. We try them on. Anybody wants to be in, we try and put them in it for the extra help. And, you know, it's just good PR for us.
How do you pay for that program?
We pay for it out of our, we have a fundraiser every year, at least fall. So we use a portion of that money. We use some of our HB 312 money. The district has supported this program for the last couple of years and paid half or a third. And so it's been real good.
Good.
Yeah, that is.
I think we were about the only ones this summer that offered this.
That's great. That's a real critical thing.
I can tell you that
Cottonwood had a summer program, but it wasn't, I'm not sure it was focused completely on reading, but they had a summer program, but not as extensive.
Well, that's good to hear.
I can tell you, as you look at the core test results, you can see where ours are, and, you know, we can't publicly announced everything yet, but you can look at it and judge that we're not doing too shabby out here. So
good for you. That's
we're
great.
Pretty darn good.
So great. Well, thank you for that, and thank your staff and for the things that they do and to help kids. I appreciate that. Now we have the land proposal from the Cleveland Town Council. We'll let you get your part over with.
Do they have a copy of our?
I think they all brought them tonight, but they had them last week. Does any of you have any board members have any questions on this proposal? You had a chance to read it. Now let's clarify what it is what it is that you're saying in here. My understanding as I read it is that the 3.02 acres that's located just down off of here. Right now it's in two all parts. It's pretty shabby shape right now as far as dugouts.
Yeah, that grass area, and
the community is using that quite a bit. The school actually only uses it, is my understanding, several times during the field day and other things. It's really hard to supervise down there. But you're asking the school board to consider donating that to the town. Is that correct?
Yeah. And if somebody thinks we're looking to do, I mean, obviously, you know, the school would be able to use that at any time if they would use it. The biggest reason that we're asking for that is
obviously Cleveland pretty much operates on federal monies, CID grants and stuff like that. So for us to have any opportunity to be able to improve it, and some of the things that we were looking at, they're going to be quite costly. We would have to be able to have that opportunity to be able to go to CID, but we have to be the owner of it. Otherwise, CID doesn't allow you to. They won't give any sort of a grant or anything.
Well, they won't give you anything if there's a lease on the property or.
You know, CID pretty much the way I understand it operates. You'd have to be the owner of the property before you can do any type of improvements to the property.
You have to show in kind. Amount of money for them to be able to take it. And as an owner, you can do that as an insurance, okay.
Yeah, we discussed it in our office, and I guess, and we haven't, of course, had a board meeting since then, so I don't know the board would have thought, but our concern is that Cleveland is an area in Emory County that has some potential for growth. There are some areas that don't, but Cleveland seems to have some potential for growth. If we end up having to add on to this school, we don't have the property here that allows us to do that. According to state guidelines, with the acreage that we have on this part, without having that property. And so we're trying to figure out a way that we can meet the needs of the town as far as use and what you want to accomplish, and at the same time not give the property up. That's kind of our feeling. But we thought maybe that would be possible through a long-term rental agreement with the city. But you're talking about something else now. If we could do a long-term rental agreement with the town to take that property, say on a 10-year lease, with lease agreement, parts of that lease agreement agreed to by the school district and the town, and then you could, you know, develop it the way you wanted to, and then that lease could be renewed every 10 years, even if it was only $1 a year lease. But the concern that I have is donating that property, then we give up three acres. And it's almost the same size as the property that the building sits on. And if we end up having to build onto this building at some point, then we don't have the acreage to do that within the guidelines of the state, and we lose playground area. So that's my only concern is I'd like to find a way for the community, the town, to be able to do what they want with that property and to develop it and to use it and to. But if you're counting on CID money to do it, you have to own it, then we have a real roadblock.
Well, I think one of the challenges there when we meet with CID or any federal grant money is it was based on the fact that if they want to give us money to make improvements for the town at the end of a 10-year lease, if the school did have to have it here and use that for a playground or, you know, whatever the case might be, they're a little concerned about, you know, giving grants in those types of situations where then the benefit is no longer available.
Yeah, I understand that. The guidelines the state gives us when we have an elementary school, I believe, and I haven't checked it for a while, but it's generally a fight. You're required, or before you can build an elementary school, have 5 acres. I think it's maybe more than that, because there's a per student. It's usually so many acres and then an acre for every 100 students or something. But we're at the very minimum here at this facility for an elementary. And yet.
What were the improvements you wanted to make?
Well, basically, a lot of the youth that play baseball down there, we want to work with the county rec, and we've made a lot of improvements in town just through grants in the last 5 years to be able to develop them into ball fields, put dirt in fields, improve the dugouts. I mean, there's a lot of good structure there. I mean, the concrete's there, the pipes there. We make a lot to make the improvements so they have a decent place.
A couple of Little League ball fields, that's what you're looking at?
Right.
I'm also looking at three 3M has a grant called MC, as well as it does at the paper out school. And now we're looking at maybe being able to use some of those monies to widen that road and put in a sidewalk. Down in that area, there's just really not any way to for the kids to travel over into that area if there's no other than walking down the road. Mm-hmm. So that concerned us, so we were looking at possibly widening that road, redoing the retaining wall and putting in a sidewalk so that they would have a good route to get to the school. So.
You know, how can you not applaud what you want to do? And yet at the same time, Eileen shares the same concerns. Particularly, my understanding is that the county is changing the building requirements from 10 acres in the county to 3. Is that correct?
I don't know. I think it's under discussion, but I don't know.
And especially given that scenario, I can see a huge amount of potential growth out here.
Well, my concern is the growth. The potential for growth in the Cleveland-Elmo area is probably higher than any place else in the county, other than maybe Green River with some of the talkers that they have with the refinery and that. And my concern is somewhere, I don't see it in the next 3 or 4 years, but somewhere down the line we may end up adding to this building, this facility. Now, if it's too far down the road, you're going to have to look at a new elementary school, and you do have 40 acres down Elmo, but in Cleveland here you don't. This is what you have.
Mm-hmm.
And if that property's gone, then you're really under the guidelines of the state for to have an elementary school. And if you add on to the elementary school, then you don't have the property to do it.
What's
without that property?
What's the
down
total
there?
Acreage, including this acreage up here on top, well, on the hill?
Well, we had a map of it that we added here.
Must be about 5 up here, huh?
Are the other grants that you're interested in, would they need to have ownership of the property, or is that something these other ones, all of them?
They pretty much want you to have ownership.
And you know, it impacts the same people. That's the interesting part, even though it's
3.1 acres.
Up here?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And 3.02 down there.
Oh, okay. And CID won't work with
your
school and
now
school. That's
out
of their realm.
I
don't think so. I've never heard of it before.
Pertaining to that acreage, obviously it doesn't have to be adjoining if there's a road there, right? And I'm just bringing up other situations where the town, we've got them a little bit underneath the property over on this side.
It looks like you've got about 1.25 acres. Well, that's where the old church is across the street, and then 0.65 acres to the north.
Okay. That's the dilemma that we have right now.
Me too. It'd be a lot easier.
We could condemn all of the property that side, you know, and then get the same amount. Maybe the town would condemn all that property and move everybody out.
Now, from a legal standpoint, can we build this part of the school down there? Across the road. I don't know if you can do that. I've never seen it before. It's like,
I don't think you'd want to.
Yeah.
Unless you could build an entirely new school.
If we expanded, it would be right here. And then we'd probably have to move playgrounds down there, is what we're saying.
But it is legal.
The street makes it awkward for you in any situation.
Access the playground if it were over on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
I think this kind of caught me off guard because the letter didn't say anything about CIB and those kind of requirements. We were hoping that maybe we could work out something with the town on a really, really, really inexpensive lease.
Our desire is to
so that it can be
make
developed
it accessible
and used by the city, but not give it up because of the future possible growth. That's the
We had a meeting, the talking the other day, and that was something that was kind of used to do those types of requirements. I pulled the gentleman aside and asked him some of the questions in preparation for this. So that was needed in the
future. Do you know if there are specific lease terms that you can write in that would be, I guess, more favorable. I mean, if you just try the lease, it says that if we want to build on the land, then we take it over, you know, whenever. I can certainly see why that would, you know, cause alarm to somebody loaning you money, but do you know if there are terms that we could write in that would provide a little bit more security while still being on a lease arrangement?
I could discuss that with the legal people that the city uses and see if there is. It could be quite familiar with
the CID and pass off. Okay. If there's any way that we can cooperate.
The one thing we have to do 3 years ago, just before we can even start applying for grants for a new fire station, is secure the property, the class of the street. In fact, we couldn't even apply for the grants until it was paid for. But we'd definitely be better than the
school. Yeah, we can ask the question.
I don't think the school would ever intend to build something across the road as far as building just the attached to this 3 week span. It's just a
legal
consideration for an 8 week season.
That's a playground.
Well, and you need that space. I live in Huntington, and I can tell you Huntington Elementary doesn't have nearly enough play space for the number of students that they have. And we don't want to end up with that kind of a situation here, especially not self-inflicted.
In Huntington, the city owns the ball field and all of that, and there's just nothing there. We'd like to obtain that property and have it for the school, but it isn't. If we were to have to replace Huntington Elementary, which is going to happen down the road, it's going to have to be relocated.
Yeah, it will.
And a lot of our buildings are getting to where we're going to have a master plan within the next few years of rebuilding. I just don't know that we can donate the property, or that you can. I'm not on the board, but you can. But I wish there was some way we could work out an arrangement through a lease agreement where that's still possible. And the third option to me would be to work out an arrangement where we could cooperate with the town to develop it the way you want, and work out some kind of joint maintenance of it and cost sharing that we could make it the way it ought to be for both the school district and the town.
Mm-hmm.
That means working with the lawn and working with the infield and working with dugout, because as I went down and looked at it, and I haven't been down there for a long time, if you hang on to that property, then we need to do some serious work down there ourselves, because I see some real liability problems. As I looked at those dugouts and some of the fencing and that, we've got some liability issues down there right now that have to be dealt with.
And the spectator stand.
And especially when Jeb climbs the fence and rips his pants halfway off.
Oh, no.
$40
pants.
Oh,
$1 million
pants? What was that?
$1 million man.
It would have seemed a lot. He's been out there working strong. No, but there's some things the school district needs to look at.
Right.
Okay.
Is the main objective to make it so that you can actually have kids play on that in the summertime with dirt in fields and so on? I mean, we probably wouldn't be doing the cement. Well, we might. We might have to do something safer someday, huh?
Yeah, and that could be something cooperative too. But I think.
Well, at least our area, my maintenance guy's pretty good in being a former contractor. He jumped right on that, and he already pulled out of it.
Let's change the proposal. When you donate the street to the school district, we'll take a bulldozer and make an iron place. Yeah, we found that out in Green River recently, when the city wanted us to work with the retaining wall there, and
we didn't do that either.
It was about 98,000.
No matter.
Can you give you an estimate of what it costs to put in sand in the infield? Anything like that?
You get into it.
That would be the first step, is to get the sidewalk established, the roadway that it should be. And so that was
But would you be required to own the land in order to do the street?
Yeah, because of the grant, we're looking at the three and the state route to the school. They would be the primary money that we would have to get that. Yeah.
the adjacent property, you already own the street.
Yeah.
You would be required to own the...
Yeah, because it would have to widen the street and retain one farther on the property.
How wide?
How much is that property?
There is a fifth there of 0.538.
That's
49.5 feet.
So did your city, though, did your city master plan require a certain width for the street?
I think 49.5 feet onto that street is plenty for the side of the line.
You would think so.
You would have 100 feet. Orange will fit into 100.
Again, that street down there is not 100 feet.
Now, if you go to the other end where we do have the improvements over on the other side, it's a considerable decline.
Yeah.
So 49 feet on the walk there would probably give you close.
It would probably give you close to 100, I guess. Streets are 100 feet wide. You haven't even 100, not in town.
They are in Huntington. You have to land the ball on 747.
Yeah, you do.
I can't throw a softball 100 feet, and I can throw a cross the street. I can throw a ball across this street.
You can land your street from your property line to across the street. I bet you
maybe I don't own as much as I think.
You don't have the sidewalk plus another 5 feet.
The city fathers thought we were all going to own jets for
the landing strip.
Is there a way we could donate a strip of property like that so that you could get that kind of a grant? But at the same time, we could hang on to that lower property and help in developing it so it could be of use to you too?
That could be an option. I pretty much just talked to the people that do the grant
right.
And give you the recommendations. So.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we donated this piece right here, it's like straight up in town directly anyway. It wouldn't be a big deal. It's not. But that flat down there.
And there's a street you need to develop in just 100 south. It wouldn't be cutting further south into that dirt parking area there right now.
No, it would probably be the full width. It would be all the way down.
No, it would have to be part of that parking lot.
Okay. That estimate actually included a sidewalk that would take it down to our center street.
So it kind of sounds like we need to ask you to develop all the scenarios you can think of that would facilitate what you can do and then talk more. Because I think the consensus is that might help. But as far as going to the entire property, I don't think it's feasible.
We'll do what we can do. It certainly benefits the children, so appreciate that. We'll probably meet again then.
Thank you. And we really appreciate how we clean the little entry in this town.
Yeah.
It's a
great school. It is.
It's really a great school.
And the community support seems really, really fantastic down here.
Secondary thing we're going to be doing here pretty quick too is they're very concerned about having the state road and all the coal traffic right there.
Mm.
So we're going to hopefully alleviate that a little bit with signs and
Christian Horowitz
over there. Some reason that they have a lot of money, and I told them I said Cleveland's a good place to spend.
There you go. We'll take it.
But in all honesty, as of tonight, we would not plan to donate that ground to the Cleveland City. Am I right?
No.
I'm
a white
and
a
magic.
That's always important.
And a rich pair of pants. Well, thank you. Appreciate that. Hopefully we can work this through.
Yeah.
The next. Please don't stand up. next item, the athletic travel schedule for 2007-2008.
Yeah, if you recall, that you need to approve what the High School Activity Association requires is that the board approve any practice games that are over 150 miles one way. What we've done in the past is have the board approve the athletic schedule itself and have the board president sign that, and then that takes care of that approval, and we need to get that as quickly as possible. So I'm recommending that you approve. We don't have all the sports here, do we, right now?
We have all the
We have the winter sports, not the spring holiday.
A lot of miles.
From the spring we have over
100
miles to anywhere from the green to the low. Green number one, you see some colors, that's because they combine. I think it's one of the red or orange, it's not like any of
the yellow.
And the yellow ones, the high number, are those that are right at 150 or close to 150.
Is this pretty standard what they usually have done in the past? There's nothing that's successful.
Yeah, they have. The only one added is the trip to our boys' basketball that you have already approved. You said they go back to putting that reminder of what their boys' basketball is. That's the only
one. Pretty much everything else is the standard schedule.
Usually what they do is a 2 or 3 or 4 year agreement between schools. Like, we'll play home this year, next year we'll travel. So each year may be a little bit milder, but the next year will be longer. They're pretty standard.
Does Pinyon always cross over into Colorado for their competition?
They have done it every year. They have.
No, it's not.
Actually, Emory High also has a baseball, usually a baseball game.
You would go with Delta, if I remember right.
Delta, probably one of my closest trips. Instead of going to Wendover or Navajo Mountain. Looking over there first, I'm ready to make a motion.
Okay, let's have a motion.
I'll make a motion and we approve it.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
I need to have Laurel sign that.
Sign
those two right there and give me a big gig. Yeah. Well, we're talking about athletics. I have a question on Emory High's cross-country sports running up and down the highway. The
highway running?
One of the cap rail.
They were doing that still. We
Center Street, Spartan Avenue.
Oh, okay.
They usually run down Center Street, and after I go where they go.
I don't need it.
But they
check
on that route for the practice and what they do.
Let's get a route where they're going, so we know.
I can do that.
Yeah.
Okay. Travel request Emory High School drill team.
Yes, I sent that to you. It's basically request for their 2 years ago. They had approved to go to Disneyland in California, and then they ended up not going, and they're requesting that again, only on that approval. It says either Disney World in Florida or Disneyland in California. My recommendation to the board is that you approve the California trip with not just say the request, and I won't say stipulation, but somehow we need a more detailed itinerary in your hands in the near future. I think it's pretty much the same as they had before, and I'm going to recommend you approve the trip so they can get started on their fundraising. But I do think that the board needs to request a detailed itinerary in the near future for you to have that. But I would not recommend Florida trip.
I
think that's too far.
I'll second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
They don't want to get their tickets right away, so they have to keep it started.
We have the amendment to the Sharon Elementary Trust Land Plan.
Yeah, their trust land plan included, they were going to hire a 3-hour educational assistant to work with music programs. And as I think I sent some information to you, Mr. Dawes, there's two issues here. Number one is that the idea was good, but they were not able to find anybody really qualified to do it. And we also talked to the Sharon Elementary about refocusing that on, more onto the academic subject areas and classified reduction. So Brian is, Mr. Dawes is recommending that that be used for class size reduction aid rather than music. And that's his, he needs that approved by the board as an amendment to his trust land plan. I'm recommending that you do approve that.
Okay.
Well, I would make a motion that we approve that and let it be used in the other direction.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, we have the outside sign on Green River High School building.
Okay. This requires a change to your building. And I attached to my report tonight, second page, you see a big VR.
Mm-hmm.
They would like to put the by donation of the class of 2007 and a private donation from parents of a graduate, they would like to put a big VR on the east side of the auditorium that is illuminated, can be illuminated at night when games are being played. It would be, I think the VR, as I indicated, is 6 feet wide, 4 feet tall, 6 feet wide, and underneath it will say class of 2007. That's all it will say.
So we just need a motion to approve.
Yeah, a motion to approve having that sign alteration to their building to have those letters. It's similar to what Emory High has with the big E. I think it's a class of 80 something.
Mm-hmm.
Roy, why don't you make the motion?
I move that we approve that.
Oh, second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, we have some personnel actions made for approval.
Now, if you go to the first page of my report, I always put the action items on there again, so it has some explanation to it. But if you're down to names for approval, these are folks that we'd like to present for approval. Tracy Dar. Dar, I'm not sure how you pronounce this.
Dar.
Educational assistant, this is a Title I educational assistant at Brook Cliff. Amy White, as educational assistant, this is with our full-day kindergarten program that we have the state money for. Brent Hayes, math teacher at Emory High, this is a temporary contract, we think.
Long-term, so.
Where does he
tell us
about him?
Mr. Hayes is from Highland, Utah, up by Alpine. He's a former industrial arts and math teacher at Oak Ridge Middle School. Am I got the right name?
Yes.
In the Jordan School District. He's retired after 30 years in the Jordan School District. And through our contact with the service center, Jay Stevens, he's a very good friend of Jay's, and Jay brought a name to us. We contacted him. He showed some interest. He came down. Mr. Singles, I think,
is
interested. He was interested in the fair. So
that
was my contact at fair.
Good for you,
after looking at Orangeville, though, he said, no, I want an Orangeville.
Oh, that's where he is.
He's
been
in the department in Orangeville. Very nice gentleman.
Yeah, so are they just staying here temporarily then? Okay.
His wife actually is staying in Highland and taking care of the horses and the grandkids.
And the grandkids. That's important. Well, great.
Sure.
That's
so good. I'll be there most of the time. Once in a while, she'll come down.
That's
he's
good.
A super gentleman.
Very nice.
He really loves him at school.
Good.
Things are going great.
Good.
Well,
the
teachers are very supportive of
him.
Wow,
that's wonderful.
He will be there until sometime in December when Josh White will come and have his student teaching finished and be here. Josh has a level 4 math. Brent actually does not have a level 4 math, but has math.
What's a level 4 math specifically?
Level 4 math allows you to teach the pre-calculus, calculus, the higher level math classes.
Okay.
Equivalent of a major.
It's equivalent of a major in math.
That's really a major.
It's a major, yeah. So we were, that's the one we were really nervous about, right down to 2 days before school.
Yeah, it was
there. State office, there's no problem with it.
That's great. I was excited to see that.
Julie Seaman, educational assistant, library at Farron Elementary. This is Sean's wife.
They're back then.
Well, she is.
She's back.
She's still teaching for one more year up there, and then we'll retire.
Yeah.
So, well, okay. Kathy Taylor, educational assistant. This is the 3-hour trust land that we just talked about, Farron Elementary.
Right.
Tammy Curtis, this is educational assistant to work with a special needs student at Canyon View Junior High. This student was at Huntington Elementary last year and the year before, and we've had a full-time educational assistant. Our plan at this point is to start in the Canyon View with a full-time educational assistant, but hopefully to write into an IEP that we phase that out and see how it works during the school year. We don't know yet. We're going to see how it works. Sharon Smith is a bus driver for Castle Valley Center, who replaced Bill Jensen. Sharon is currently the aide that we have on the bus, has been for a number of years, and has substituted for Bill.
Okay.
And Todd Jeff is athletic director at Emory High. Nancy Martinez did resign that position. We put out an announcement in the faculty. We had a couple of people interested, had actually leaned toward one, and then he decided he didn't have time, and so we went with the other one. So we're recommending Todd. So those are the names, either to replace positions that we've had open by vacancies, people.
Okay.
Hopefully we're getting close to our staffing.
I move that we approve these names as submitted.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, we have building rental fees for some activities, a blood drive.
On my report again, down toward the bottom of the action items, we have four requests. I think I sent you three. We now have four requests for use of our facility for benefits for the families, the matter of the mine disaster. Canyon View Junior High, they want to have a multi-denominational memorial this Sunday at 6:00 on the, my understanding is, on the football field. We're still trying to figure this one out because no one has contacted either the district office nor Mr. Davis this Sunday. We did narrow it down to the mayor of Huntington and the sheriff, who was apparently supposed to do that, and I don't know if this afternoon if Larry found out anything or not, but they want to have a multi-denominational memorial. I know that you've seen it in the papers.
Mm-hmm.
I think the LDS Church is sending someone down from Salt Lake. They also have a Catholic bishop of the diocese up there, and also a couple of local religious leaders that will be speaking. Have you heard any more about it, Jeb, in this area?
Supposed to be, I think it's
6.
6:00. Pastor Citrus, Elder Ballard, I can't remember the one over Pride, Pastor over Pride.
Yeah, I've seen the name, but I can't remember. Anyway, there are four or five, and instead of others.
Ron Ballard?
12.
Yeah. Yeah, and hopefully the rain's over. It's supposed to be.
If it's a situation.
Not yet, but I'm sure they'll probably ask for chairs eventually. I think the sheriff was supposed to take care of that.
My mom went into one day, so it'd be a bit of gas. Yeah.
I would make a motion that
there's three others. There's Huntington Elementary, Blood Drive, Red Cross Blood Drive by Zion Bank in their names. Canyon View also a concert on the football field. Oh, I forgot Emory High. Concert September 24th. Canyon View Junior High football field. Carl Malone and some of the Colin Ray and others are trying to line up. The governor's office is the one that's working on these, along with the local city officials. And this is the one that's going to be the most difficult. They're talking about 10,000 people. I really question that.
Three mayors coming up.
Green River.
Football field, it's under county recreation. The initial information we have is that they will provide, all they want is the field. They will provide, I think they've asked Neil to try to set up a stage. Well, that's for the memorial. They will set up everything. They will bring their own generators, their own sound. They will bring portable restrooms. They will bring portable lighting. They will provide patrol for tobacco, alcohol. Parking will be across in the rodeo grounds, and I'm sure everywhere else, even downtown, probably, if they have that many. They have said they will provide cleanup, setup and cleanup. The cleanup may have to be done on Sunday or Monday, but they will provide all of that. What I'm presenting to the board is the rental fee waiver on those memorial activities for the miners and their families.
I move that we waive them.
Their county rec liability
will take care
of the liability. I talked to Shannon Hyatt, and he said that would be part of it.
Okay.
He's the...
Last I talked to Shannon, he would either use county rec or the county's liability.
Right, but it would be important.
You never give up your liability no matter what, so you know that. I've learned a lot about liability recently. The liability coverage only covers participants. No.
Spectators.
It doesn't cover participants.
Oh, really?
One of the things that was proposed is that they bring in some of those bikers that leave their bikes and are airborne for a while, and it sounded like that was a fairly firm possibility.
I haven't heard that.
So the sheriff will be there?
I can't imagine how they would set that up and still have 10,000 people sitting on that field.
But our liability is, we're covered.
Well, something happened with that. Our liability is based on us having showing negligence whatever happened with the accident.
If you had a sprinkler sticking up 6 or 8 inches above the football field, the motorcycle hit it, maybe there might be some liability. But hopefully they would have boards laid out, they have landing boards. I haven't heard anything about that kind of activity. But that's a good possibility. I don't know.
Well, I second that. Roy's made a motion that we approve it, so I would second that and waive all the fees.
Okay, any other questions? Okay, Owen, go ahead.
What part are they planning on using on Newman High School?
Auditorium. Only for the presentation on the concert from Utah Symphony. They're not billing it as a benefit concert. They're just coming down as a concert, but they are going to set donations.
That's nice.
Yeah. But if we build out a benefit concert, it would be
just
with
donations. Very nice. Yeah. Okay. It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. We have a declaration of surplus vehicle, like a bus.
Yeah, Roger called me and suggested that we surplus this one other bus that we have. You can see it's a high mile bus. It is one of our old wheelchair buses, but he said it's been sitting there for a couple of years now, not being used, just kind of taking up space. It's not part of the bus rotation, and so we wanted to recommend surplusing this bus so that we can sell it.
Okay. Any discussion on that?
I would move that we do that.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, let's go to the superintendent's report.
Just two quick things. I attached a new enrollment report as of yesterday. Because Jeff putting this together from JJ, if you remember. The one I sent you looked a little better than this one even, but our projection was that we would be down 68 students. As we projected last spring, we're down 58 students, which is 10 less than that. But the one I sent you is even better than that, but this one's in between the two. So, we're at, as of yesterday, 2,262 students. I want you to look at Fairton Elementary, though.
Yeah,
they're all 41 students over last year.
You got to send people over there. There's something in that water that's living there.
Yeah, they have.
They have really grown. I think the year before they were up 5 to 10, the year before that 5 to 10. So they've grown 50, 60 kids in the last 3 years. They're up at 272 students. Mm-hmm.
And the nice part of it is I know a lot of the families that have moved in, and they are good families.
Really? That's good to hear.
So our elementaries are up 32 and our secondaries down 90. For an overall, we're down 58, which is 10 less than we thought we'd be down. Which is good news, but I would like to level out to zero or grow. I want to see tremendous growth, at least some growth, or at least stabilize. Quit dropping, we know where we're at. Other than that, just to let you know, the USDA regional meeting for the fall will be October 11th. It will be at Carbon District Office. Last year we went up to Spanish Fork again, but they had it scheduled tentatively for Carbon District Office on the 11th at 6 o'clock. So.
October 11th?
Yeah, it's at the bottom of my report, I think. It's right at the bottom of the call. And that's all I have.
Thank you. Let's turn some time to Jared for the business administrator's report.
I just had one item that I wanted y'all to be aware of. I've been contacted by the basically DCFS about a new children's justice center. They're looking to build one in Castledale, and hopefully through a cooperative effort through a few different agencies and groups. And they have set up a meeting to kind of get everyone together and start the ball rolling on that for September 19th at 1 p.m. at the DCFS office there in Castledale. And I think it'd be great if one or two of you could come along with me.
You know we have another meeting that day?
Yeah.
So John and I will cover that.
Yeah. That's what I was hoping. The office. Just so that you're aware of, you know, what's said and what's going on. So
is this going to include our building construction program, too, and maybe add
a there's a possibility. Yeah, I've been invited, too.
DCFS and the pageant site? Like going to the pageant site?
By the cannery, and right there. Well, that's where the meet office is, where the meeting is at. September 19th at 1 p.m.
I got an invitation as well. I'm going to try and be there. Anybody else that can? I think it's a Wednesday. Is that right?
Wednesday.
Okay.
There's no
Saturday.
They're
so cheap. You probably just don't come. Really?
Yeah.
You be careful down there.
That
sounds scary.
You got his call.
Really?
I just
going
to Peru.
Peru? Are they meeting down there?
December 19th. Can you believe that?
No.
4 months.
Okay, that's all I have.
Well, thank you, Jared. Appreciate that. We have public comments? No? No public?
Gallery out there?
That has replaced our other.
Oh, that's our other.
A little bit more.
Okay.
Public comments?
Public comments,
well,
okay.
I had one question. On the administrative council minutes, there was something about a discrepancy between the math, the new books, and the curriculum, or the,
what it is the new law requires that publishers hire an independent review of their curriculum material to align, or to do an alignment with the state core curriculum. The reading program that Ira and Jed will have to correct me on some of this, the reading program that our teachers selected, the primary grade met some criteria that somebody set up, but the 4-6 didn't. The state office of education, it's up to us whether we move ahead with it or not. And we feel really good about it, but it did delay us somewhat. So we were looking at adopting new reading programs for this school year, the math program for this school year, but that delayed us now until December and getting that material, probably not implementing too much until next school year.
So we didn't. The impression I got was that we bought the wrong textbook.
No.
What the core was.
There was just a delay because we were waiting for that independent review and some controversy at the state office over what constituted an approved book and what didn't.
So it did
was delay it. So we won't be getting that material until December. So I don't know what discussion Jed you had with principals, whether to try to start implementing it this year or wait until next year.
What we're going to do is probably in the spring begin training teachers, and so they will then have the summer to go through the books and get them all prepared. We could have got them right now, but we thought why stick us right into the beginning, because they really won't be able to get trained. So we'll wait till December.
Okay.
Make sure the state has got all their steps in a row, and then give them the training in the spring and let them have all summer to look through them, and then they'll be ready for next year.
The teacher did get some of the new training on the new core during the core academy this summer. Mm-hmm. And the test, we're supposed to teach to the new core,
and the test
is still on the old core.
This is really controversial at the state level right now because of the accountability.
Okay.
Is that we have a new core curriculum for math, but they haven't developed a new assessment. They have a pilot that they're going to do this spring, but the majority of the kids will be tested on the old test, which correlates to the old core, not the new core.
Wow.
So they're expected to teach the new core, but the test will be based on the old core. Now, we're hoping there's enough overlap that they'll do okay, but it's really controversial in the state right now. The state superintendent is taking a beating over it from the assessment directors and school districts, and yet they don't know what to do with it because of No Child Left Behind and the regulations there. So this year is going to be a little bit of controversy in the assessment of math. But after this year, we'll be back on track, and everything will be okay.
Oh, good.
Okay.
Be there. Eat the bread, huh?
Well, that's something I just real briefly. I know I met with I don't know if I reported all of you on this. Some of you I talked to a little bit about it, but I did meet with the governor here a couple of weeks ago in his office, representing the Superintendents Association. We had quite a discussion about a lot of things, and then as we were leaving, I intentionally was the last one out of the room. And he shook my hand, and he said, I want you to say hello to my friends in Emory County. I've been really concerned about them. And I said, yes, we know, and we appreciate all of the concern that you have shown to the people during this tragedy and you being there. And I said, I really hope that you'll show the same level of concern in the aftermath when so many of our people are unemployed and we're struggling economically because of what's going, the investigations and what's going to happen with the whole coal mining industry in the western states.
Mm-hmm.
He looked at me a little disgruntled, and then he kind of straightened his face out and patted me on the back and said, it'll be okay. And I left his office. So I just want you to know I didn't.
Yeah.
He got pulled out of the
deal. Well, his education deputy was trying to get a hold of my hand and lead me out, but I...
Good. Thank you for doing that.
Well, can you tell us what happened with that capital outlay equalization?
Well, basically what happened is not
just died.
No, it didn't die. It's been referred to a task force to study. You know what brought that all about was the school district divisions in Jordan and Janet.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that by dividing those school districts, it created an unequal capital, unequal tax base, which means that one side could reduce taxes, the other would have to raise taxes significantly in order to have enough capital outlay to operate their buildings and to meet their capital needs. So Howard Stevenson and several legislators decided they had a brilliant idea. They would equalize capital outlay. First of all, it was only going to be among class one counties,
mm-hmm.
which were school districts, which would have been your big school districts, basically Jordan, Granite, Davis, and some of those. But then it got expanded to a statewide, Howard Stevenson is really in support of a statewide capital outlay equalization.
And when I was with
the governor's staff last week, not with him, because we met with his staff for a while before while he was getting there, and I expressed some real concern about capital outlay equalization and taking money from school districts that are declining in enrollment and yet have some serious building needs down the road and giving it to districts who are growing and have needs that way. I said, you need to be looking at capital adequacy, not equalization.
Mm-hmm.
It needs a new infusion of money when, and now that money's available, now's the time to put that into the capital outlay foundation program and infuse money into capital outlay, but don't sit and rob from some, to rob from rural especially, to give to urban growing districts. But I don't think they're going to listen. I think it's going to be equalized in this next session. I think that it will hurt us. The initial plan was to replace whatever they took with income tax money. They would lower the, they would take the capital outlay base and then replace it with income tax, which is, you know, is not very stable. It's like a roller coaster. But I'm not so sure that's even in the plan now again. I think they're going just to do a basic equalization statewide, which will cost our district a lot of money.
About $1 million a year.
So right now it's been assigned to a study committee, a task force, to come up with some recommendations. I don't know if they'll call another special session sometime before January to deal with it, or whether they'll wait till then. There's a good chance they could call another special session before the other session starts and deal with it. So it's really one of those things that you don't have a lot of control over, but it frustrates the heck out of you. And we have sent letters. I have sent letters to our representatives expressing concern of what it would do for rural areas of the state, because I think the rural areas are the ones that will get hurt the worst over.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to deal with a big city problem and do it statewide. And it's like the Superintendent Jordan said, capital outlay equalization will give me $14 million, but I need $800 million to build buildings. So it's really a drop in the bucket. But it would have a major impact on small schools, especially those like us with low student population and a fairly high assessed value.
Mm-hmm.
We really do well on capital outlay. Now, we're not plush, but for our size, we do really well.
Mm-hmm.
And there are small school districts who can't even get enough to build an elementary or an auxiliary gym. I feel sorry for them, but I don't want to sacrifice us for them. Our job is to protect us. And if you look at the tax rates on capital, we stand out like a sore thumb compared to the rest of the state. We're not at the 100% max that you could assess for capital outlay. I think they'll force us to do that before they'll let us dip into any other monies. The concern I have is that we've set ourselves now in a situation where we'll take a vote of the people to raise that. Because we did a vote of leeway to lower it to raise the other. Now it's going to take a vote of the people to raise the capital outlay rate. So that's a long description of a short answer that you wanted.
Yeah. Thank you.
Need for the executive.
We don't.
Okay. Then we can go to a motion to adjourn.
I'll make that motion to adjourn.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Oh, my gracious.
We don't have any.
Let's write that down.
No, actually, you're short of 45 minutes.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true.
Yeah, well,
but I'm going to get home before 10.
Oh, my
God. Some of us remember when these meetings went until midnight.
Yeah. 1:30.
No.
Oh, yeah.
I remember
calling
police and...
That was the joke. Maybe it had something to do with.
You don't have that pan, it's just about dry. I won't steal it. I'm going to steal one. I'll get that.
We talked at one time about leasing properties and all that, but I don't even know.
And they were, I got the impression they could do something.
I think they'll come up with something, don't you? I thought
you'd be at 10 o'clock. I wouldn't
like
to go there.
We'll hang out somewhere.
Well,
we have a few treats here.
Roy? Who's this? Laura, was this yours?
Oh, that's Jared.
Okay, I just want Laura to be walking away.